Hey San, Svejsan, it's Jorgen Sandberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, your favorite employer branding agency. This week, it's all about creative trends that you can incorporate into your campaigns. Let's start the show. Terence Morash, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Tell us about Shutterstock and your role there.
Sure thing. So Shutterstock is a leading global technology company. It really helps businesses, agencies, media organizations, kind of all kinds of people, communicate through high-quality licensed imagery, footage, music, and also easy-to-use tools. So we have a huge collection of images, over 100 million. We have over 160,000 contributors who are adding new content all the time. And it's quite an evolving organization. I mean, honestly, it's been really fun to be part of. As far as my role, I joined here about half a year ago, and I'm the creative director at Shutterstock. So I really work with the creative team and the broader company to define and refine what the brand represents. And then always looking for generating new marketing initiatives and other useful information for our customers.
Right. And I think most people will probably be familiar with the brand from getting stock photos for a website or for a blog, perhaps.
Yep, that's right. What's funny is it's a really interesting company because everybody knows Shutterstock as a stock photography company. Mm-hmm. However, as we see the industry really start to evolve, including our audience, right? Our customers are no longer just the creatives of the world in agencies. It's now small business users. It's the people who are managing social media accounts. That we're really seeing what we can offer our customers as broadening every day. So we've actually introduced new tools that can make it really easy for someone who doesn't have design skills to put together an email template or a social media post. And then also even with this Creative Trends Report is being able to provide some insights, some information, some data back to people so that they can make their communications that much more effective.
Yes, so thank you for mentioning that. So I spoke to you guys last year about the Creative Trends Research, and I'm really happy to have you back on the podcast. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Creative Trends Research and what it is and also what the methodology behind it is?
Yeah, sure. So this is the sixth year where we're doing the Creative Trends Report. And essentially what it is we are predicting through data, and I'll talk about more about that in a moment, but we're really trying to predict what those trends are that are going to influence creative direction and design aesthetics in 2017, sort of across the board, images, videos, and music. And the way we go about doing that is by taking our billions of searches that happen on our website every year, all the downloads that happen, and really start to crunch that data and understand what it is that is sort of starting to trend. So we're not just looking at necessarily what's the most popular downloads, but we're looking at the various keywords that are being looked for that are more popular this year than they were last year, and dramatically so. And what that is able to do is we're able to then predict sort of what's going to become hotter in 2017. So for example, last year, one of our trends was flat lay. Which most people can identify. It's sort of that looking straight down, things organized neatly, kind of aesthetic that you see across social media. So we saw that starting to trend even before it got gigantic last year. And we actually saw it evolve a little bit even more this year.
Great. Okay. And so if we look at this year's trends, first of all, what are the four global trends? And if you can try and explain it, then we challenge with the format that we're on audio. So if you can try to explain it so that people can imagine it, what are the four ones?
Sure. Yeah, we identify four big trends this year. The one that we saw the biggest spike on, we're calling white texture. And the way that we're defining that is really adding a three-dimensional feel to imagery. So you can imagine the texture of paper or folded paper or even like white paint on a surface that it has these ridges, shadows, etc., really kind of giving things a little bit more dimension than where we've come from. And the best way that we think about that too, it's almost an evolution of what we saw last year with material design, which was a term coined by Google, which really looked at that flat interface that had been popular for so many years and starting to give it dimensionality, adding shadows, things that you could almost reach out and touch. And we saw that extend this year with this texture. So these white texture imagery, things that people can then apply to their designs and make them feel a little bit more tactile. Really spiked this year. Another one we saw was halftone. So halftone, many people, any magazine you see or a newspaper, what you're seeing in any image on those various printed pieces are really made up by tiny little dots, sometimes a little bit more evident than others. So that's called the dot pattern and also a halftone. And that's what we saw spiking this year too, which was really kind of interesting. It's, again, very much like white texture. It's almost adding that a little bit more of an organic feel to some of the communications that we're seeing being generated. And perhaps it also kind of is reflective of almost nostalgic for a simpler time when printed newspapers and posters were kind of much more important than the 24/7 digital news world that we're in now. On the other side of things, so that's kind of the more physical things. We also saw it bounced off by two sort of digital trends. One was heads-up display, which for those who don't know what that is, it's essentially really the integration of data into the physical environment in a way. So you can imagine you've seen it on race cars where the various instruments on the dashboard, the speedometer, et cetera, are projected up on the window itself, so you could, the windshield. So you can actually see all that information and you can see through it as well. So it's really this integration of digital data into our worlds. Very interesting, and I think it's somewhat reflective of how technology has more and more become incorporated into our everyday lives with things like Nest thermostats, for example. This integration, I think, is really getting people to really muse about what's going to be interesting in the future. Where are we going with technology? And then the last global trend that we saw, of course, is emojis. I don't think we'll ever get rid of them, but this is actually this is interesting because emojis was a trend 2 years ago, and then it's come back this year and come back big time. So we're seeing a 328% increase in the number of searches for emojis, searches and downloads for emojis this year. Why? You know, for us, we look at it as, you know, perhaps it was a couple of years ago when it was starting to trend that it became much more mainstream, where we started seeing huge brands, global brands such as Pepsi, starting to use emojis in a really meaningful way. They had the whole Pepsi emoji campaign where they had added emojis onto Pepsi cans last summer. And I think because of that, it's also introduced that idea of emojis into a broader audience. So it's no longer just those, that younger generation, but now you're starting to see their parents and everybody else using emojis, and everyone's sort of piling on top of that. And at the same time, of course, we're seeing the social media channels just really kind of at war with each other as far as who can make their various channels much more interesting. So incorporating into emojis and other augmented reality elements into Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook. I think all those things are really driving emojis forward.
Yeah, there's no stopping emojis. And I think there always seems to be new emojis released every quarter or so. And and also now in iOS, it's all automatically integrated. When you write things and then emojis pop up, and I don't know, I quite like them myself. It's a quick way to express an emotion or whatever.
The good news is, of course, that there's the emoji movie is coming out this summer.
Oh yes,
so we can all celebrate together.
Yay! So I meant to ask these users that you have on your sites and that have contributed to this research. How many are they, and where are they based around the world?
It's really a huge, broad audience. I actually don't have the total number of people, but we do see billions of searches and downloads.
Okay.
And again, what's interesting is that the audience has changed so much over the years. You know, when John Oringer started Shutterstock, it was really geared towards providing simple royalty-free imagery to agencies, but also small businesses, people who just needed a quick image to get something up there. But as we've seen that evolve over the years, becoming much more dominated by creatives for a long time, and now almost coming full circle where, again, small businesses are much more part of this. Even people in the HR industry are downloading a lot of these imageries for their presentations, that they're doing internal presentations, things that have actually spurred us to create tools like our Microsoft plugin to help it make easier that you could pull some of our imagery into a PowerPoint, for example. So interesting in that way.
Good plug there, Terrence. Well done. cultural trends. Tell us all about that, the past, the present, and the future.
Yeah, cultural trends, I mean, are really been quite interesting. And for me, it's always one of the more fascinating things to look at with the trends report. So what we're seeing this year is a little bit of a shift, right? Last year, we had Always Connected and Unplugged, which was somewhat simplistic. This year, it becomes much more nuanced, where we kind of organize it as past, present, and future, but there's still very much that thread of being always connected and always unplugged. So let's start with the past. So the past is really defined by this sense of nostalgia, mm-hmm. right? Revisiting, reworking iconography of past decades, So we're looking at things like interesting patterns, an aesthetic that feels a little bit more analog than the digital world that we live in. And it's interesting to see this really start to play out in pop culture in some ways, less obvious ways. So the one that jumped out to me, of course, was Netflix's series Stranger Things.
Yes.
Where,
yeah.
It's such a great series. But what's amazing about it is it's not this series that's just about the 1980s American culture. Instead, it's about something completely different, but it's sort of brought that aesthetic of that period into the forefront in a much more subtle way. And I think that's the difference that we're seeing this year. It's not nostalgia for the sake of nostalgia. It's really kind of incorporating or infusing it in a really much more, subtle and interesting way. And then at the same time, we're seeing that really bounced off by a look at the future, which was similar to last year. You know, certainly looking ahead, people are always thinking about digital and how is technology being incorporated into our lives. What we're seeing this year is a bit of a dichotomy. So we're seeing, just like last year, a trend of virtual reality. So everything from the Oculus Rift kind of headsets, how does that incorporate into our world where we're sort of can interact with a digital universe that doesn't actually exist, as well as the ephemeral internet, which is really popularized by the Snapchats of the world. So things such as all of a sudden you're wearing, funny glasses or you're puking rainbows, you know, that's what's coming out of that whole Snapchat kind of phase. But at the same time, it's really balanced by this uncertainty about the future with digital technology, right? So cybersecurity was actually our biggest trend in that section. So all of a sudden everybody, technology is great, but there's a little bit of a concern about what this means for us. Are we starting to lose some of our privacy? Are those personal details going to be public details? Interesting trend to watch. And then, so we're seeing some of the imagery that's being downloaded regarding that is really representing that part of technology that's sort of the darker side.
Okay. And I was just going to ask about, I mean, there have been some big shifts in politics as well in the last year. And so is that anything that's been reflected in cultural trends for you guys?
I think that's a big part of it. Certainly we've seen so many news items over the past year that have really elevated that sense of cybersecurity into the forefront. So everything from WikiLeaks to, you know, potential, Russian hacking in the American election season. All those things, I think, have made them kind of front page topics for everybody. And I think that's why that's really been driving that forward.
Okay, great. All right, so if we move on, let's have a look at design trends. What are you seeing there?
Design trends, right? So again, a little bit of a dichotomy between these two, right? Nature versus technology. Mm-hmm. The nature side of things is somewhat expected, I felt like, right? You have the organic texture, which in many ways reflects what we saw that global trend with white texture. Organic texture is somewhat the same thing where we're seeing things such as floral patterns or marble swirls, tree rings, things that are very beautiful. They feel kind of tactile, something you could reach out and touch, something you can really understand and kind of connect with, as well as tropical, which, again, bright colors, very much the same thing. These tropical patterns that are very attractive, they feel enticing, something you can really relate to. But for me, I think the one that's been jumping out on me is on the tech side. So the tech side is the one that jumped out to all of us and the entire design team over here at Shutterstock. We've all been kind of intrigued about is glitch. So this idea, again, of the darker side of technology. So what we're talking about glitch is all the parts of technology when it's not working well. So it's about banding in a video or that the white noise, the static you would see on an old television. Basically, technology screens really starting to break down. So it's not about this smooth, polished, everything is perfect, this app works fantastic. No, this is about things crashing, about things not working as they should. And again, it kind of reflects a little bit what we saw in that cultural trend of a fear of what technology is, what's happening with technology.
Yeah, a little bit ominous perhaps. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing it actually starting to come out again in pop culture too. So there's actually another film coming out soon called Ghost in the Shell. And we noticed that their movie poster, it's all glitch, you know, so it's Scarlett Johansson, but right in front of her is this sort of very glitch aesthetic. Could be really interesting to see how that really plays out over the course of this year.
Yeah, okay. Right, and if we look at visual trends around the world, I noticed that, is it jalapeno? It's very popular in the US.
you know, the one thing with our trends report, right, is we are able to identify trends, but we cannot always explain them, right? So that was kind of funny, right? So we're looking at various visual trends around the world where we're essentially taking that same data, but as we start looking at certain regions, what's working there? Like, what are people looking at? What are people, what's really trending? Some of them are obvious, right? So we see Canada, clean energy. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, thank you for being responsible. Our friends to the north of us here in America, or Brazil, girl power, right? There's this sense of some political discourse that's happening that's really influencing these downloads that are happening. But then you do see something like jalapeno in the U.S. And I must say, I mean, we've spent a lot of time here over various lunches and meetings trying to figure out why. Like, why is it jalapeno? And we've got nothing, you know? So, you know, again, we can't necessarily tell you why, but we can say that these are the things that are really trending.
I'm sure I read something about the risk of chili shortage in the U.S. if you build the wall.
But that's true.
Jalapeno, I don't know if that covers well. So in the U.K., blockchain was the visual trend. How do you explain that one?
That one, you know, that one's interesting too. And I was almost thinking about it, and we were trying to understand it as well. For me, and again, blockchain, it's sort of how these various elements kind of fit together. It's almost like a puzzle, if you will. I think a lot of it, again, might be driven by some of the political discourse that's been going on, right? There's certainly been, with Brexit and everything else going on in the UK, lots of conversations about perhaps fracturing and about staying together. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of that. It's this idea of blockchain, I think, are being used to represent a lot of those conversations. Mm. So maybe it's people downloading things for presentations. It could also be news sources really using some of that imagery to help illustrate a story about Brexit or something like that.
Yeah, and I think also, I guess, the fintech space, there's a lot of products around blockchain. So sort of Bitcoin, copycats,
yeah, right.
They look at the using that type of technology. So that's interesting. Okay, right. So let's move on to video trends. What are we seeing there?
Video trends, right? So what's interesting in video trends is we actually saw a continuation of a few things from last year. So there's four different trends. First one is wanderlust. So that sense of really exploring the world, right? Finding new experiences, which I think we saw it last year for sure. Obviously, it is sort of a dominant trope that you see on Instagram across the world, people showing off other parts of the world and experiences that are out there. We are seeing that on the video side as well. Another one is top view. So this felt like an extension of flat-lay, which was popularized last year. Although the difference is, and again, this is sort of the camera looking straight down, somebody who's actually manipulating objects on camera, very much a flat lay image, but a little bit more of a DIY focus or a POV focus. So it's kind of introducing that little bit more of a sense of a human aspect of that kind of imagery where somebody's doing something in there. It's really about handcrafting and being artisanal. Really kind of interesting. And again, that extension of the trend last year, which I think probably influenced a lot of our contributors to generate some of this content as well. And then the other two was mobile office, which I think actually could be really interesting when you start looking at that HR industry, right? Mm-hmm. So mobile office, yeah, we're hitting this point now where technology is enabling people to work wherever they are, right? So it's almost the responsible version of wanderlust, right? Where you no longer have to be bound to your cubicle at work or a single office where you don't see anybody all day. Now you can go to the coffee shop. You can be traveling the world. You could be somewhere in the UK speaking to someone in New York City, as we are right now. That's what we're seeing really trending with some of the video content that we're having downloaded. And then lastly is immersive technology. So again, going back to that idea of virtual reality, these are images of people with augmented reality glasses on, or you can imagine experiences where augmented reality is really incorporated in. People playing Pokemon Go, for example, which was huge, of course, continues to be too, which is pretty amazing. But those are kind of some of the video trends that we have been seeing. And for me, I think what's interesting too is start seeing that creative twist of that immersive technology. So, for example, Apple came out with a AirPod commercial recently where it's sort of a dancer who's walking down a busy street or urban street, puts in his earpods and then starts dancing up walls, defying gravity. It's the sense of, you know, technology is allowing you to kind of escape the confines of our everyday lives. And of course, it's also showing off that the earpods won't fall out. But for me, it was really interesting reflection of some of these trends. I still won't get one of the earpods though, because I know I'm gonna totally lose them.
I'm going to wait for a second generation, a third one. when they become a bit smaller, I think, and they don't have to charge as often. So that brings me nicely onto music trends. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, so three big trends this year, and all kind of representing different beats per minute almost. It kind of goes from slow to fast. Chill hop, atmospheric, and high octane.
Wow.
So, really interesting. Chill hop, it's kind of very much a slow kind of atmospheric kind of feel, as opposed to going all the way to high octane, which almost sounds like something very foreboding, something that's just high energy. It's exciting. It's like what you'd play before the big boxing match, if you will. What's interesting, though, it's a very big difference, a very big change from what we were seeing last year, even the year before, where the music trends, they feel a little less pop, a little less happy, and again, maybe influenced by some of what's been going on in the world, where people don't feel like frivolity is there as much. So we're not seeing as much as those ubiquitous Apple-esque tracks with ukuleles and xylophones. You know, instead, we are getting these tracks that are much more kind of moody and serious, energetic.
Okay, right. So that brings us to the final one, which is social trends. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, social trends, a little bit of the continuation of what we were seeing in the past, right, where we're still seeing this aesthetic that is dominated by a really beautiful light, kind of breathtaking composition, a lot of nature imagery that's being downloaded, things that feel like you're sort of away from it all, kind of out in the world. What we're seeing different this year, though, again, maybe it is a little bit of that sense of pessimism creeping in, is extreme weather, right? So not just the beauty of nature, but also the power of nature. So we're talking imagery of like tornadoes and, gigantic waves crashing against a lighthouse, earthquakes. These are also kind of getting pulled into the trends itself, which I think is really interesting. So it's this sense of respect for nature, but a much more dynamic one, where it's not just about how beautiful nature can be and we have to protect it, but it's also how nature can impact us.
Right. Okay. Great. So those are all the trends, and I will link to this in the show notes article, and perhaps even embed some of these. But in a nutshell, what are the main takeaways for marketers in 2017?
Yeah, the main thing is intelligence, and that's really what we try to offer. We recognize as a company, yes, we have tons of assets that people can use, but we recognize that with 100 million assets in our collection, just imagery, people often just need one. They need the right one, right? So anything we can provide to people to make it a little bit easier for them to choose the right image or identify what that next cool aesthetic is that's going to really make their pieces stand out over some of the competition, we're happy to do that. So that's the biggest thing, is really providing data, providing some research that's backed up by data to help people work more efficiently in the future. And that becomes really important, especially, again, as our audience here at Shutterstock, our customer base, has really changed. It's not just the creatives and the marketers out there who already have kind of in place a lot of their own research, but we're dealing with people who are a small business owner. Someone who's a plumber, they may not have the same kind of access to research that a professional marketer will. But if we can provide them a little bit of insight into what could be more effective for their imagery that they're choosing to download, let's do that.
So the main takeaway is to pay attention to your research, basically.
That's right. I mean, everybody should do their research. I mean, it's just one bit of research, sure. But, we do think it can be really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and if we look at brands or perhaps only one brand, can you give us one that inspires you in terms of creativity and why?
One that really kind of keeps jumping out to me is Airbnb, actually. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy what they've been doing. In fact, they, to some extent, reflect some of our trends that we've been having going on, especially that sense of wanderlust, right? So Airbnb, they're just really smart about how they're using social media. I noticed it even with Instagram a few years ago, where they have a very simple approach to Instagram, where they're just showing off some of these beautiful places that you can go to, that you can actually rent. But then at the same time, they're taking those Instagrams and linking people off to those properties. So they're kind of incorporating a little bit of commerce into Instagram. And then at the same time, they actually have a really interesting campaign right now, social campaign called Live There, which we were feeling was a bit of a reflection of that wanderlust trend that we're seeing. So Live There is essentially, we're looking at this world right now where people are valuing experiences more than ever. Right. That's what people want to get. It's great to have all the technology, but we also want to see the world and not just see it as a tourist. This isn't just about going to some glitzy resort and having your cocktails delivered to you on the beach. People are really valuing going to different places. Don't just go to Paris, right? Live there. Like, what is it like to live in a neighborhood of Paris and be able to shop at the little local market? That's what Airbnb is really trying to promote with their Live There campaign. I just think it's so smart, the way that they're going about doing it.
Yeah, you're a customer yourself, Terrence.
I am. I have been on occasion. I'm actually trying to plan something now, but there's a lot of negotiations going on back at my house.
Yeah. The best way is to, if you go away, you do a swap, a house swap.
That's right. Yeah. So I'll call you after this and we'll figure out how we can help places.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. Finally, where can our listeners learn more about Shutterstock, your research, and how can they find you on social media and so on?
Great. So definitely you can find out about Shutterstock and Link Humans, of course. But you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Great places to kind of keep tabs on what's going on with Shutterstock, as well as subscribing via email to our blog. I think we always have a lot of really interesting articles that are coming out that we hope are of value to you. And then for me, any quality coffee house by the Empire State Building in New York, I'm usually there. Or you can find me on Twitter or Instagram.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for your time, Terrence.
Thank you.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Terrence and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, and I will also embed a visual, a large infographic, which will visualize all these creative trends. You'll be able to find it at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, did you know that here at Link Humans, we're very creative too? Yep. Follow our creative creations on Snapchat and or Instagram, both with the username LinkHumans. And when you do look us up, please say hello, will you? And if you want to learn more about LinkHumans, or if you have any questions around employer branding, feel free to email me at jorgen@linkhumans.com. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you next time. Hej då!
Where does a general keep his armies?
No idea.
In his sleeves.